Welcome back to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. This is Tom McNew with Father John Gisaldo. Thanks, Father, for joining us again.
My pleasure, my pleasure. This is the only thing I have time for, Tom. It's the only thing I have time for.
I think there's a whole lot of people at St. Luke that would disagree with that, and many of them I know are listeners because they're always interested in what would Father say,
Yeah.
and
I guess I take that as a compliment.
it is a
But
compliment.
I used to teach high school theology, and the kids would go home and
Okay.
say, "You're never going to guess what Father said today." You're never gonna... And then I get phone calls. Did you really say that? Well, kind of, because when it comes out of kid's mouth and his own interpretation of what I may have said, you never. Did he really say that?
Well, luckily, we have all these archived on our
Oh, good.
website, armorofgodradio.com.
There you
So
are.
if you ever
There
want
you
to
are.
know exactly what Father said
Yeah, straight from the
at any
horse's
particular
mouth or
time,
the priest's mouth.
yeah, there you go. All you got to do is go under our schedule tab and you can pick them up there. They're downloadable. So you can download them and carry them with you on your phone and make your kids listen to them over and over again. Use them as an evangelization tool to get other folks to listen to Armored God Catholic Radio and change their life as well.
Amen. Amen.
And Father, last week we started in on our four sins that cry out to heaven for justice or vengeance, depending upon
Yeah.
which source you're looking at. We covered the sins of willful murder and the sin of sodomy or Sodom. And so this week we're going to pick up with the other two. And I think the first one or number three of this list, oppression of the poor, especially widows and orphans.
Yeah.
This is going to get heavy.
Yeah, it is. And you could say it's the first protected communities, widows and orphans. And why is that? Because they're the most vulnerable. They have no rights. And so Moses, well, with the Ten Commandments, Moses was very explicit. Oh, Exodus 22, which is where the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, do not take advantage of the widow or the fatherless. If you do and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. In other words, you could say that God loves everyone the most, but doesn't care for everybody the most. It's kind of like a father who has four teenage sons and a 6-year-old daughter. What does he say? Don't you dare hurt her. She is precious because she's beautiful and vulnerable, and it's your job to protect her. And if you turn on her, you will get you. It's like you turned on me. That is my flesh, and I care for them. I protect them. And it's a call to protect them because they're vulnerable. Because they're vulnerable. This is when God says, I am their father, and I will protect them, and it won't turn out well for you. You know, in Exodus 2, we'll back up about 20 chapters. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of the slavery of their slavery went up to God. So God hears some prayers, seemingly more than others. He hears the, as we told in the psalm, the Lord hears the cry of the poor, and I care for them. I think I told you this story before about Cardinal George and that place in Chicago, the homeless shelter in Chicago. I tell you that story.
I don't remember the story.
They created a homeless shelter in Chicago for the poor, and but they got rich people to donate for it. And Cardinal George, they gave a banquet for just the donors. So it's a lot of rich people, right? And so he said to them, don't feel bad or feel guilty because God has blessed you with means. You have money. You have money. That's not that means you're bad. It's how you use it. So he said to them, you exist to help keep these people out of poverty. You exist to help keep them out of poverty. And they exist to help keep you out of hell. They're doing you a favor by letting them help you. And God identifies with them. Whoever does this to the least of my brothers and sisters does it to me. So, like all the other deadly sins, this should scare the hell out of you. Just scare the hell out of you. That the least among us God identifies with, and that's not, that's Jesus talking, but here way back in Exodus. To oppress the poor, the widows, and the orphans is to violate him and violate his covenant. But it's also an invitation. How do you please God? By pleasing and providing for those that he's put in your midst and asked you to care for and watch out for. And we're judged by that. And we're judged by that. Matthew 25, when I was hungry, he gave me food. When I was thirsty, he gave me drink. When I was a stranger, he welcomed me. Whoa, it's all right there. Works do count. And at the end of our life, there will be a reckoning. And hopefully it's a day of celebration, not a day of, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, you notice never once in any of those did Jesus say, when Jesus helped people, he never gave anybody a dime, never gave anybody money, but he fed them. He spent time with them, prayed for their healing, prayed for their to be released from evil, from the, from the grasp of the evil one. So priests especially were asked to meet people's spiritual needs, not just hand them a Whataburger gift card, because sometimes that's all they want. They can always get that other places. So you have to be discerning. Discerning when someone comes up to you or you encounter someone, what we're most supposed to be concerned with is their salvation. Is their salvation? So they, when they see us, do they see Christ? When we see them, do we see Christ? And you either love them, which means doing what's best for them. Or what's the opposite of loving someone? Using them. And that gets in. I mean, both these two are kind of connected. They're connected, and we can look at the other one too here, because when we oppress the poor, we take advantage of the poor, especially to widows and orphans, because they have no rights. The other, let's go ahead and move on.
Before we move
Okay.
on, looking at in the Catechism,
Okay, yeah.
paragraph 1867, where it lays out these four sins, it includes the word foreigner.
Oh
And I know
yes.
we're gonna raise some people's ire
Yeah.
here. The cry of the foreigner, the widow, and the orphan. So
Yeah.
I think it's important for us to understand that the cry of the foreigner doesn't mean that foreigner gets to ignore the laws of whatever country he or she may find him or herself
Yeah,
resides.
and for these people especially, they didn't have border. They had borders per se. People would come in from all over to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem, but when a foreigner would usually come into your territory, looking for work, looking for help, because people want to stay home. They want to stay home, and do we meet their needs and welcome them? Welcome them, expect them to respect the local customs and laws. We don't. When I go down to Mexico, I gotta take my passport. You gotta go through immigration. Why? Because that's respect for their laws. Just like someone who comes to your house. Sure, you can feed them and even let them in, but you don't let them in your bedroom.
And in most cases, they don't just walk in the front door. They knock or they ring the bell,
Yeah, that's
and they
right.
wait for you to answer and invite them in the
You know,
door.
it's funny. It's funny too. We had a I was. We had this past summer, we play soccer with the kids. We have summer soccer. It's a lot of fun. And sometimes 20, 30, 40, sometimes more kids show up. We once had 60 kids. We played three teams of 22 soccer. And one of the kids who was there was from France. Was from France. She was like an exchange student or something. And she spoke English pretty good. But I remember her friend saying, well, whatever her name was, Monique or something. She's going back to France today. Tomorrow she's heading back. It's her last day. And I remember telling her, almost pleading, when you go back to France, speak well of us. We've treated you pretty good. We've been nice to you. People in France think we're all a bunch of. She goes, yes, that's true. People think Americans are stupid. I said, some of us are, and some of y'all are. But if you ask any person here, what do they think of French people? They're probably going, we don't. But we live, and especially Europeans, we live inside their brains free of charge. So I ask you, you were a foreigner and treated well. Please let them know that we're not so bad. Let them know that we're not so bad.
It's
Yeah.
important, I think, that we make that distinction, that there's although we still want to care for the foreigner and treat them with respect. That doesn't necessarily mean a handout and a free ride and
Yeah,
take.
because sometimes it can be overdone. In New York, they have refugees staying in nice hotels where the people of New York have to pay $300, $400 a night to put them up in a hotel. They don't even give that to veterans or the homeless. I lived in New York for a while. I was a foreigner. I was from Texas. I mean, you couldn't do that, but I mean, sometimes it's unreasonable. You have to be very careful if it's not for nefarious reasons, because in some places, people who are not citizens are allowed to vote. That's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. If I go to Cancun, I'm not going to vote in Cancun's in mayoral. But sometimes they use immigrants. Some politicians will use immigrants for their own power base. So we don't oppress and take advantage of the poor, the widow, the orphans, and the foreigners. It's easy to take advantage of them. Hey, you give us this, we'll let you in. We won't worry about these laws as long as you give us what we want, like your vote. In a way, that's a oppression too.
Well, and frankly, in this country, these last two sins are so closely connected that,
Yeah.
especially as it relates to the foreigner, and this is a good segue into our last of these
The
points here.
last of the, thank God there's only four.
Defrauding workers of their wages, and it typically that's what we have seen is the reason so many of these foreigners are allowed to enter our country is because that's exactly what we're doing. We're defrauding
Yeah.
them of a just wage. We're making
Yeah,
them
let's.
live below the poverty line.
Yeah, so let's read that. This is from Deuteronomy. Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset. Ooh, because they are poor and are counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Again, warning. Do not take advantage of them just because they're living. And they have to work. They have to provide for their families. I remember those days when I was coaching soccer. It was always a controversy. We would buy game soccer balls, $250 from Nike. Nike made soccer balls cost you a couple hundred bucks. But they all said the same thing on the label, handmade in Pakistan. And they were saying the kids were making these balls, making 50 cents a ball, maybe 50 cents a day. That cries to God for justice. Somebody's making money. And they made great soccer balls. But I would also say, I was going to tell you that before. I have a story about this, if I can share it. Again, you were saying sometimes this happens, especially to those who are here immigrants and without papers and here unlawfully. So I went to visit a man when me and another priest went to go visit a guy at his new house or something. And I don't know how I got there, but we went in the backyard. And he was showing us his backyard, and it looked nice. And he said, "Well, I got I'm quote unquote is a bad to you know I got a I went downtown and picked up a illegal alien," and he used a W word. And he said he worked 10 hours, but I only paid him $30. You know, it's $3 an hour. I paid him, and he worked 10 hours to clear his yard. And I said, "That's unjust." "Well, you know, he's legally here. It doesn't matter. I have to pay him." I said, "You know, that's a mortal sin. You just took advantage of a man, worked for 10 hours, you paid him $30, which now barely gets you a couple meals at McDonald's. Go to McDonald's. Oh my gosh,
Not even.
everything's providing for his family. That will come up on your judgment day. You took advantage of him. Well, he's here illegally. Hey, then don't hire him. You don't have to hire him. If you're going to hire him, you must play him a just wage, and to defraud him cries out to God for justice. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do for me." So having said that, we get people around here all the time, you know, transients that'll say, "Hey, can I do some work for you?" I usually say, "No. What do you need?" "Well, I need some food." "Okay, I'll get you some food. You want me to go? We can go shopping. We can give you a HEB, but you're not going to work here. And I'm not going to hand over cash, because what they want is cash. What they want is cash." And that's doing what's best for them. "Hey, we're here. We want to help you. We want to help you get to heaven. Where's your family? Are you actually starving?" Because if you are starving, sometimes I had a woman call here once. She was taking care of her two baby children, and she had no groceries. I said, if that's true, we should be calling CPS because they don't belong with you. You can't give them basic food and water. And she changed the tune real fast.
Oh yeah.
Because we'll always say, well, you know, you go down to Temple Outreach and some of these soup kitchens. Oh, we already went there. They won't help us. Really? Is there a reason why they won't help you? I take all of that with a grain of salt. Because the truth is, Tom, sure, if you go to the Congo or Ecuador or especially Haiti, people there do die of malnutrition. The people around here don't die of malnutrition. Yeah, actually, the poorer they are, sometimes they're worse to eat, and they die of heart disease. So we have to work within our culture, do what's best for them. But when we use them, the opposite of love is use, not hate. Not hate. If we use them for our betterment, if we can hire cheap, because that's what happens with immigration. You know, they come here and then people take advantage of them, and that's a double sin. They've broken the law. Now they're vulnerable. And they're being used.
And I think again, this gets back to the community nature of sin, because every one of us is guilty of buying that $250 soccer ball that was, made by a 9-year-old who got 50 cents that day for working all day in a probably in a deep, dark, sweaty, dirty, hot factory, or going to the grocery store and buying that pack of strawberries that was picked by a family of illegal aliens that probably got paid $4 for their day's worth of labor picking strawberries out of fields in California.
So
It's
my
important
little
for us to
example
keep that perspective.
that I gave you, Tom, I swear I didn't see this verse because it's in James chapter 5. Let me turn to James chapter 5. You know, I'm usually Catholic. I can't find my at half the time I can't find
James is in the New Testament.
yes. It's the epistle, and it's the one it's the one that Martin Luther didn't like too much, the epistle of James. James chapter 5, verse 4. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud, and the cry of the harvesters, you have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived in earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. Oh my goodness. You know, James doesn't mess around, does he? You have defrauded. Behold, the wages withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. What does that mean? That God's going to slap us on the hand? That he's going to give us a time out? Make us apologize? Because the good news is really good and the bad news is really bad, Tom. And, we're preaching about this Sunday, you know. I don't know if you're too familiar with the prophet Amos.
Little bit.
Amos is a wild man. He is mad. He is mad for three sins and for four. You have defrauded the orphan and the widow for three sins. Oh my gosh. You know, it goes back to that. There's a great book out called God Is Not Nice. Prophets are not nice. They tell it like it is. And they scold and they cajole, and you could say the people going, oh, you're making us feel bad. I just don't feel safe right now. You know, I'm feeling
Exactly.
marginalized and accused, and you're not building me up. That's right, because either hell is real or it's not, and it will not be a consolation. We say, well, I intended to help, I intended to sacrifice, I intended to give my life, I intended to do just. You know, people. Well, first I want to live my life. Well, first I'm gonna, because you know I was watching some things about people retirement and people picking retirement, and the kind of financial guy goes, you can always try to get back your health, but you cannot get back time, because God's mercy ends with death. You can't just wait. I'll just wait till I'm the guy on the cross, on my deathbed. I'll ask for forgiveness. That's making God into a punk, the sin of presumption.
It's a pretty
If I
serious
could tell you real
gamble.
quick, I'm sorry. I had a guy on the side. You never give people money on the access road. But I pulled over. Guy came out the window. You got some money for what? I want something to eat. I said, stay right here. So I drove around to the Whataburger, Got him a full meal deal. Number one with cheese all the way, medium, large, large fry. Piping hot. Oh my gosh. It was during Lent too. Piping hot. I drove back around. He was gone. He was gone. I said, I got you what you. Now, there are people who are hungry. We once had a man in a wheelchair. So a woman pushing him came to my door. Came to my door. I said, we're looking for something to eat. We need. I said, I'm not going to get. I said, I have pizza. Would you like? I had a whole pizza. So I went and heated it up for him. Came back outside. They chowed down on it. And then I got him some Gatorade. I said, here you go. Oh, they were feasting. And it was so satisfying. And then when you do that, you sit down, you talk to them. Hey, tell me about your life. To share a meal with someone, pray with them, have them pray for you. That's heaven come down, Tom. That's heaven come down. Can I share another story
Yeah,
about
please,
when I was at the
please.
prison?
Yeah.
So we went to the, I go to the prison about 3 times a year. That's about it. Give a, and really the guys that are on the top level, kind of the trustees and stuff. You visit with them. But one time I was there and we were going to go to the restricted unit. That's where the people, men in solitary confinement, all the way from G5, G1 to G5. So there's all kinds of layers of restriction. The guys in the bottom, they're the ones that 23 hours a day they're in solitary confinement. Anyway, we told the guys, some of the trustees, we're going to go down to G1. And one of them goes, you're going down there? I think we should pray for you guys. So I had prisoners praying for me. I said, you know what that's called? That's called heaven. But I have a unique opportunity to have these experiences as a priest. So if you like to have these experiences, if there's any young men out there who's single,
Go.
who might be thinking, I have a great life, I have a satisfying life, I love interfacing with the people and bringing Christ to them, the truth of the faith and offering forgiveness. Excuse me again. I went to visit someone who we haven't seen in a while. We did what we call hot visits. Knocked on their door and they were happy to see us. Invited them back to Bass. And then I said, is there anything else we can do for you? Can we have our house blessed? Absolutely. I said, I am a full service priest. I can absolutely bless your house.
It's
Yeah,
probably
give
the
me your
highlight
life
of their
and serve.
day.
I'm sorry?
I said that was probably the highlight of their day.
Maybe, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But just I went to go visit this family because their son was supposed to come to youth group, and he's the mom was like, he's gonna freak out that you came looking for him. Yeah, I got his address. I got GPS. You know what we do now? And I know we're kind of off the subject, but
It's all right.
we go knock on people's doors that we know are Catholic, and if they don't answer, sometimes we have their phone number. We will videotape me knocking on their door and text the videotape to their cell phone. Technology makes
Yeah,
all
pretty
that possible.
powerful. It is powerful.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for those in your life and know there are venial sins, there are mortal sins, and then there are sins that cry out to God for justice. And if we could just stay clear of them, we find freedom, we find joy.
In
I was
our
reading
in,
today. Go ahead.
go ahead.
No, so
No, go
today's reading, one of them was Herod, the one
ahead.
who killed John the Baptist, said, he heard about Jesus and he was perplexed. He goes, I thought I killed John the Baptist. Who was this guy? And I looked up the word perplexed, and the Greek of it means to be entangled, to be entangled. And what a powerful image that is, because sin does bog us down. It's like being in those poor caterpillars or flies or here's a kind of a morbid story, Tom. We had this big spider web in a house I used to work at. With the it was one of those black and yellow spiders. I don't know what those are called. Beautiful, 8 legs, black and yellow spiders. But we used to go over there and look at it, and every once in a while a grasshopper would jump in it, and get all, and then the spider would immediately go over and wrap it up, and you could just see him going, I can't believe this happened. I can't believe this happened. because Herod was one of the Herods, not him, but one of the Herods is the one who killed all those innocent boys. And he kind of inherited that heritage of being just wrapped up in sin so much that he can't even move. And because Herod was used to taking out, killing all his people that defiled him or threatened him. But being generous, forgiving, sacrifice frees us up. I mean, it helps us to be free. And the
Keeps us.
deadly sins and the sins that cry out for God for justice leave us bound and slaves. Go ahead, Tom.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to end it
Amen.
there. And I'm just
Okay.
going to ask for your blessing. And
Oh, wonderful. The time flies when we're having fun, isn't it?
that's right. That's exactly
Have
right.
Well, let's go ahead and pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, send your spirit upon this apostle, this radio station, this show, the armor of God for Tom and his wife and their ministry. We bless all those who are listening now. They may embrace the cross. They may follow Christ wherever he leads, and knowing that he wants what's best for them, has a place in heaven for them, but also wants us all to be missionary disciples to bring the light of Christ and the truth of the faith to the world. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, tune in next week. We're going to get into something a little more, dare I say, demonic,
Oh my gosh.
as we get into the different types of demonic activity. And
Yes.
this will be a good series. It'll take us a couple of weeks, a couple 3
At
weeks maybe,
least.
to get through this.
At least.
Father John's is well versed in demonology, so. We hope you'll tune in here again next week on What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. God bless y'all, and we'll see you next week.